Let's see, just in time, Kelly, we're just about to kneel down and start with prayer and then get started. So that having been said, if everyone wants to kneel down, we'll open with prayer and we'll get started. Dear Father in Heaven, we thank you, Lord, for giving us an opportunity to come together to read your holy word, to learn truth, and hopefully to live by it. We thank you, Lord, for the few people who have come in the room today, and we pray you please send the blessing of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to lead us in the truth and guide us in the paths of righteousness. We pray for those around the world, Lord, that are celebrating this pagan holiday today. Please be with them and help them to realize why they even have a holiday, that the Son of God came into this world to be born to die for us, that it is not meant to be a celebration of all these other things. We pray for those that are not here tonight, Lord, for whatever reason. Please be with them and comfort them. Please answer our prayers, requests according to your will. We thank you, Lord, for Nicholas being able to get his T1 on and for Glenn to be able to work out the other things that he did yesterday. And we thank you for dying on the cross for us. And this we ask and pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Do we have anyone in particular that would like to start today? It doesn't have to start from the top. Anybody can start. Do we have a volunteer or not?
I'll start. I just wanted to say that on a fluke, I forgot that it even was Bible study today. I just was thinking, let me go in here and see what's going on. So I'm extra happy that I'm here tonight. Anyway, so we're reading chapter 27, Bible election. Question number one. What does the Apostle Peter admonish us to do? Wherefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. 2 Peter 1:10. So what are we admonished to do? We're to give diligence, and probably by the sweat of our brow, to make sure that our calling and election is sure. We need to make sure that we know that we are saved, and make sure we stay saved. Oh, note, this text at once reveals the fact that our salvation, so far as our individual cases are concerned, is dependent upon our own actions. We are elected to be saved, but we are to give diligence to make this election sure. If we do not, it will not meet its purpose in our case, and we shall be lost.
Amen. Thank you. Number two, what admonition given by Christ teaches the same truth? Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Revelation 3:11. So what admonition given by Christ teaches us the same? That we are to hold fast that which thou hast, and so no man can take the crown. And I think there's another verse that says that take hold of that is truth, or keep hold that which is truth. I can't remember exactly how it says, but when we find truth, take hold of it with both hands and never let it go, and just, you know, cling on to it with, you know, with all our might and our soul, and that is Christ. Okay, note, crowns have been prepared for each of the finally redeemed. Every soul is a candidate in the race for eternal life, and hence for a crown. Faith in Jesus and the perseverance to the end will hold it fast.
Oh, it's my turn. Yeah, you know what? We don't want to be called an evil servant, you know, the one that buried their treasure. Upon what condition is the crown of life promised? Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. Wow. So yeah, we must be faithful, very faithful. And, you know, once we're saved, you know, that doesn't mean, okay, well, I'm going to just sit back and wait for something to happen, you know. We, of course, have to get up and make it happen, you know. Go out by faith, you know. That's where the mistake that the Laodicean church is making today. They're sleeping, you know. People take the context of a waiting Christian as not a working Christian, you know, but a waiting Christian is one that is working. And not only are we awaiting the Lord's return, but we're promoting or, you know, being a part of making it happen, you know. So, yeah, that's right. Watchmen on the wall. Amen. Okay, so number four. I guess it's, not Nicholas. If you're ready to read, Nick, but it's not, we'll just skip to Tom.
No, I was just kind of waiting for Nick there. He must be still fixing something. Number four, in whom and from what time have we been chosen unto holiness and salvation? And the answer comes in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. Apparently it's an abbreviated portion of the passage. It says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. In another place in Scripture, he says, those whose names were not written in the Lamb's book of life from the foundation of the world. So God has predestined us in that he foreknew us. We're not robots, but he knew us before the world was. And our names have been written in the Lamb's book of life. But our salvation is what we do. It's our faith in Christ, and our faith in Christ is manifest in work and being productive in the kingdom and sharing the blessed hope in Christ with others and keeping the faith and earnestly contending for the faith and being a light unto the world. We can't be in Christ and in the world at the same time. The Lord told us we can serve. We cannot serve two masters. And so it's important for us to sanctify our lives and to set ourselves apart for his service and to stay in him and in his grace and be an example for those who are seeking. And I don't know who it goes to next.
Well, I just had a question. So that verse that you said about who he foreknew before, something like that. Does that mean that like everybody's name was written in the book and then people chose to have their name taken out of, like, you know, if they turned away? Like, I've heard teachers say like, okay, everybody starts off with an A and then you kind of, you know. So did everybody start off in the book and then some people turned and...
Oh yeah, you know what? That's an interesting question because here's a verse that kind of can let's do this one. I'm gonna paste it in a room. Okay. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed with white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. So if our name could get blotted out the book of life, that means that it was written in there at one point. So, you know, that could be the case right there. God has chosen all of us, you know, but it's up to us to choose him, too. Choose you this day who you will serve. You know, as for me and my house, we'll follow the Lord. If Baal, then follow him. If Mammon, then follow him. If God, then follow him. I forgot what verse that is. For whom he did foreknow. Oh, yeah, that's coming up in a minute. In fact, it's on question 7. I guess we might want to wait a little bit and we'll get to that. Okay.
What is the character of those thus chosen before the foundation of the world? That we should be holy and without blemish before him in love, which is the same verse. So the character of those thus chosen before the foundation of the world is that we should be holy and without blemish.
Now, if we look at the difference between those two versions there, on the right it's got the revised version that says without blemish, and that's true, we should be without blemish. But I posted the King James version in before, and that says without blame. Now, if you just scroll up a bit, it says we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, they're two different things, blemish and blame. And whereas blemish is true, you remember when Adam and Eve sinned, Eve blamed it on Adam. Adam blamed it on the serpent. And that verse in the King James says we're without blame. There's no sin there, so nothing can be blamed on us. And so they're two different things. And, you know, I know a lot of these people, yeah, I think it's a much better opinion. A lot of people, the revised version was really a big version at one point in time. But, no, I'm not a huge fan of the revised version. I mean, it's okay, but I'd rather stick to the King James. Now, let me just post Ephesians 1:5 in the room before I do my question. Now, I'm not a believer in using different versions because people use different versions because they swap and chop according to their doctrinal beliefs. And if we do that, we have to allow others to do that. As soon as you use at least only one more version because it reads better, then you have to allow other people to do it, no matter how many versions they want to use. And so, no, I believe we should just stick to the King James. Anyway, Mondo wants to have a chat, and then I'll do my question.
Yeah, you know what? A real good, there's some real good pages on this. First of all, Nick has a page on Bogus Bibles, and of course, AV1611, they have a few good pages on these different Bibles, like charts and stuff like that. And, I mean, of course, some of their doctrine is a little bit off, but at least they, I mean, they're real comprehensive on their Bible pages, and really shows that all those other Bibles, besides the King James, are very malicious Bibles. They have a hidden agenda, you know, and it's very dangerous. And, you know, I don't appreciate when you know, churches, even Seventh-day Adventist churches are using these Bibles openly, you know. That's a big problem, you know, because they are, yeah, that's right, a hidden Jesuit agenda. But anyway, go ahead, Greg.
It's all right. I've always said to people, if you see me queued up there, don't hurry up to finish just because I'm queued. Say whatever you want. Yeah, that's right. Most people don't know is most of these, if not all of these modern Bible translations, are the work of the Jesuits. Another point we should cover, which I can cover using my question here. Question 6, to what has God foreordained those who attain to this character? And I posted that in before. I'll just repaste it in, Ephesians 1:5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Yeah, that'd be a good idea. Nick would probably be the best one suited to do something on Bible versions for us. And, yeah, that would be an interesting day. And, now the point I wanted to make here is we're not Baptists. Baptists believe that you are predestined to be saved or predestined to be lost. That is rubbish. You know, when the Bible uses words like foreordained or predestinated, it means that it's God's will for everyone to be saved. And it is God's will for everyone to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That's all it means. Now, these Baptists like Warren and Mondo being ex-Baptists have probably heard this. I know I've heard that I haven't even been a Baptist about, they say the doctrine of the free will is a Catholic doctrine. Well, that's just absolute trash. The doctrine of the free will is not a Catholic doctrine. they're for ordination, if anything. That'd have to be Catholic, I don't know. But, yeah, that's right. God does not choose for any of us to be lost. God chooses for all of us to be saved. And I do not believe now, I never have, and I don't think I ever will believe, that I'm foreordained to be saved or foreordained to be lost. I mean, I find it crazy, because why preach the gospel? Because people are either saved or lost. I mean, there's some brilliant Baptist preachers out there that try very hard to save people, like Kent Haven, for instance, try so hard to get people to accept Jesus as their Savior, and that's a good thing. But I just think to myself, well, if you guys believe in foreordination, predestination, whatever you call it, why bother preaching the gospel? Because these guys are either saved or they're lost. And the Bible does not preach predestination. Like, you take that verse there, for instance, and then I'll hand it over to Mondo. It says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. In other words, we are all predestinated to become children of Jesus Christ. Now, that's simple. But see, there's what God wants to happen, and there's what God knows is going to happen. What God wants to happen is what you might call predestination, but what God knows is going to happen, that's foreknowledge. It was never God's will for the children of Israel to fall into apostasy, but he knew they would. I remember Pastor Hoffman preached one of his best sermons is on the cross, and he makes a distinction between the crucifixion and the cross. The crucifixion was what man did to Jesus, but the cross is what he did for us. It wasn't his will to die on the cross, it's just that he knew he was going to. When you study the sanctuary, it was his will that he go into the courtyard, and he was going to lay down his life, literally lay down his life and die for men. But man put him on the cross. And so we are not... she wasn't Baptist. She was... Linnell left the session. I wonder why. Linnell was a... she must have got booted. She was born a Seventh-day Adventist. She's about at least third-generation Adventist. Hey, she's back again. Anyway, that's my little spill. Now we'll let Mondo have his spill.
Oh, yeah. You know what? If you look at, all the, verses of foundation of the earth and stuff, you'll see that God chose us from the foundation of the earth. And also, Christ was crucified from the foundation of the earth. You put those together, you can see that the way we were chosen is because there was a plan of salvation from the foundation of the earth. And, it's up to us, of course, to choose these things. You know, if there wasn't any choice, first of all, there wouldn't be any verses in the Bible involving the word choose, or there wouldn't be any conditional promises saying if. You know, the word if is a key word in the Bible. So when you see all these promises, they're conditional. And there's lots of conditional promises. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. So that's a choice there. It's exercising faith. And, so of course God is not a robot maker.
Amen. Number 7. According to what does God call us? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. So according to what does God call us? He calls us according to his good purpose. And I pray that I figure out my purpose real soon.
Don't worry, Kelly. Look, the Holy Spirit works with all of us all the time. I mean, we're not going to know everything at once. Otherwise, it would be just far too overwhelming. So the fact that you want to know the Holy Spirit still is there with you and working with you. Okay, number 8. According to what have we had, what have we been predestined? Being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Ephesians 1:11. So what are we predestined? According to the purpose who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. I don't know how to put it in my own words. If we live in Christ, we will allow him to work through us for his own purpose according to his will. I guess, predestined and predestination really is another one of those words that is hard to talk to some people about. There is a biblical way to understand predestined, but there's a lot of times I prefer to use other words that mean similar but are easier to get across to people because of the stigma that is attached to different words and phrases in so-called Christianity that has been abused and misused for so long. So this is a wonderful verse if people can understand it.
Yeah, well, when we look at the next verse, it's always good to look at the verses around it. I always like to have Esau on in the background. It's always good for people to have their Bibles on in the background or open in front of them, because verse 12 explains verse 11. As verse 12 says, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. So in verse 11 where it says, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, we are predestinated for his glory. That's our predestination. We are predestined to give glory to God in the highest. And I can't see anything wrong with that. That's why we were created. We were created to glorify God. People always say, oh, I wonder what... I don't mean Kelly's comment. I mean things like, the life of Brian, the meaning of life and things like that. Oh, what's our purpose in life? What are we here for? Where are we going? And because they don't know what their purpose is in life because they reject the Creator. Our purpose in life is to give glory to God. And if we reject God, you will not find your purpose in life because there is no other purpose. As individuals, well, sometimes it takes a while to find out what God wants for us, but as humanity was created to glorify God. That's our predestination. And the next question helps out with this anyway, so... Once again, I think it's Mondo's turn.
All right. Amen. I forgot what number we're on. Number 9. Okay. How many does God desire to be saved? Ah, that's an interesting question. Who will have all men to be saved? Amen. And to come unto the knowledge of truth. And, you know, that's pretty interesting. I shared a verse a second ago. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but come to repentance. So that's, you know, he wants everybody to be saved, you know. And, I could predetermine, you know, hey, you know, my yard is going to be clean and, you know, it's going to have a nice garden and all that. I could predestine or predetermine these things, but that doesn't mean it's going to happen, you know, because I'm not in control of all the, you know, reactions, consequences, circumstances. You know, it goes on and on. There's a lot of things to consider when you predetermine something, you know. Yeah, Greg. Okay. Number 10.
Okay, Mondo. And number 10 says, upon what condition is salvation offered? And the answer is in Acts chapter 16, verse 31. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You know, confession is made unto salvation, but the world teaches, and I'll just be honest, the Babylonian church teaches that's all there is to it. Once saved, always saved. All you have to do is confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and he'll forgive you all your sins.